From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. 1 year ago this week, in fact, 1 year ago today, a letter published in the LA Times officially started the We Said Enough campaign. That letter was signed by 140 women plus in California politics. They wrote that they were not shocked to hear the allegations against Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein because they said they too had experienced sexual harassment, even sexual assault, related to their work. In this hour, we're going to talk about the We Said Enough campaign in the midst of the national Me Too movement. And in a bit, we're going to meet the journalist who in 1975 originated that phrase, sexual harassment. But first, the leadership of We Said Enough. Samantha Corbin helped organize that letter published 1 year ago. She is executive director of what is now the nonprofit WSE Group, and she's in the studio. Samantha, glad to have you here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
On the phone with us is Adama Iwu, who also helped launch that letter and co-founded WSE. She is its president. And you might remember that Adama landed on the cover of Time magazine as news of this letter and the stories behind it emerged. Hi, Adama. Glad to have you back on Insight.
Hi. Good morning.
So to both of you, and Adama, you can start. When you were helping to organize this letter, did you have a vision or expectation of how it might be 1 year from now, you know, projecting into the future, Adama?
When we were writing it and working on it and kind of sending it around to women that we worked with, my main thing was hopefully this will serve as kind of a chilling effect. Kind of just a shot across the bow, like, look how many women are actually really angry about this. And we might in the past have laughed it off or let it go or brushed it under the rug, but we're tired of that. And I really just thought, okay, maybe people will see this, realize how angry we are, and some of this bad behavior will stop. That was really my big hope for this. The fact that it's gone so much further and that so many people in so many different industries and different legislatures and countries around the world have also said, you know, we're really angry about this too, is more than I could have possibly hoped or dreamed for.
Samantha?
I have a habit of what I call future fussing, sort of running every potential hypothetical scenario. So I would agree with Adama that, you know, I had some of those hopes, but I was also anticipating that people would want to talk to us, you know, maybe not us per se, Sam and Adama, but really talk to someone about this subject. And it was with that in mind that we set up the website and, you know, some methods of communication so that the conversation really could continue beyond just a letter. And so I anticipated there would be a big demand for conversation. I certainly didn't anticipate there would be as much as there is. But definitely thought this was something, at least in my experience, that women in particular were going to want to talk about a lot.
If this began for all of you under the dome or in Sacramento at the Capitol, and now, Adama, as you say, it's far and wide, what are you hearing about how it's present, how sexual misconduct in the workplace is seen and experienced around the world? I'd like to hear some of those far and away stories.
Yeah, so I actually was over in the UK earlier this year talking to some of the women who work in Parliament and who are members of Parliament. And they were saying that until very recently, like in the last few years, they would be talking and men would be kind of pantomiming, reaching out and touching parts of their body, making really inappropriate gestures, making really inappropriate comments about their fellow female ministers of Parliament. And how angry about that made them. We've heard from women in different industries saying that, yeah, oh, it's like that in politics. It's like that here, too, in academia, in science, in national security, in the nonprofit space. So the stories that we've heard are all very similar. Women are having a very common experience. And I think that was really shocking to a lot of men to hear that, oh my God, is it really every woman I know in every job she's ever had? And every woman has emphatically said, yes, that is the experience. It does not change. like we said in the letter, there's really nothing that insulates women from this. And then on a corollary note, this also happens to our LGBTQ friends. This also happens to men. This is really not about sex. It's about control and power.
I want to talk through a bit of the timeline, because it's easy to forget in a year what was happening last October. It was October 5th that the New York Times and then October 10th, the New Yorker, published those stories of sexual misconduct by Harvey Weinstein. And that seemed to launch the Me Too movement across the country, although a woman named Tarana Burke had started using that phrase back in 2006 or 7, and then actress Alyssa Milano picked it up in 2017, and through her tweets, it went viral. So it seemed new to many people a year ago. Meanwhile, October 9th, Dianne Feinstein announces her candidacy again to run for the U.S. Senate seat that she holds. The We Said Enough letter was published a year ago today on October 16th, and then Kevin DeLeon announced on October 18th that he would oppose Dianne Feinstein. So that was a lot of focus on the Capitol. Then comes the letter and more revelations. And Samantha, will you tell me about the frenzy of all of this in really what was the couple months of last fall?
Sure. And I think for context, you even have to go back a full year prior to that, because I believe it was October 5th, the year prior, that the Access Hollywood tapes with Donald Trump had come out, right before the November election. And women have since that time really been on a slow boil. There was the Women's March following the election and sort of this frustration that these double digits of women coming out against the president, frankly, were not so offensive enough that he couldn't be elected president. And so I think when you come up on the Harvey Weinstein story coming into the press and our letter and the climate at that time, women were at over a year of enormous frustration at that point. Which is one of the reasons we really thought people would want to hear about this and talk about this. Certainly, in the Capitol in Sacramento all the way to D.C., this became a very intense conversation with Adama and I both regularly receiving calls from legislators in different states, receiving calls from staff in D.C. who really were having this shared experience. And frankly, when it comes to women in politics, you look at the numbers and we have so few women in high levels and in politics, period, as elected officials. And you wonder, you don't have to wonder why that is. The women are, just like in many other fields, STEM fields, medical community, academia, they're being systemically harassed and discriminated out of the pipeline. And I think that you've seen a conversation and a narrative really form, particularly around the Feinstein and Kevin DeLeon race, because of her history and her coming into office as part of sort of the year of the woman following the Anita Hill hearings, and how contextual that history really is to what's happening right now.
We can't have this conversation right now and not talk about the impact of the Kavanaugh hearings. That race is only one piece of it. But Adama, can you speak to your listening to the testimony and the hearings and what women around you, women and men, part of this movement have said in response to it?
So I had a friend reach out to me from D.C. very early and ask, what do you think about the Kavanaugh thing? And I said, well, you'll know that she's telling the truth when more women come out. And for a while, it looked like he was going to get away clear. And then more women did come out. And then more people came out to just say that's actually what he's saying about his behavior and how he comports himself for years is not true. And so going into this, I already, kind of had a lot of feelings about this. And I think a lot of people did. Watching Dr. Ford, she seemed incredibly poised and credible. And it was clearly at great personal risk that she came forward. And there's really no earthly reason for her to. So that was, I think, very impactful to a lot of Americans and people around the world, because people around the world were watching this very closely. And then to watch his testimony, and frankly, I felt that his behavior, the way that he comported himself, was not judicial, did not display a judicial temperament. He came out yelling. He was disrespectful to senators, especially with his interchange with Senator Klobuchar. I think that that was actually kind of shocking. And I think that for a lot of women, I won't say all, obviously, but for a lot of women, it became very easily to see this as someone who might put their hand over someone's mouth and turn up the music to keep them quiet.
Adama, I'm going to jump in here because the debate that's been set off about who is believed or not believed, where is the blame, is an accusation real or false? To reflect on your letter from a year ago, I'll just read a bit of it because you were speaking to this at that time. The letter says, "Why didn't we speak up? Sometimes out of fear, sometimes out of shame. Often these men hold our professional fates in their hands. We don't want to jeopardize our future, make waves, or be labeled crazy, troublemaker, or asking for it. Worse, we're afraid when we speak up that no one will believe us or we will be blacklisted." We could spend the rest of our time talking about the reality and the stories, but can I ask in this year what you've seen in terms of outcomes or progress or results? Samantha, do you want to start?
Sure. You know, there's definitely, and Adam and I were reflecting on this recently, there's something of a bit of a playbook, I think, at this point, for those of us that have both been following the national news and frankly, have been personally involved in sort of hearing from very many victims and seeing their experiences be lived out. And there's a saying that we've used pretty regularly, which is, you know, these type of incidents, to Adama's point, are like cockroaches. If there's one on the floor, there's 10 in the wall. Abusers tend not to abuse just once. They tend to abuse with some kind of regularity. And unfortunately, in the past, and I think even you saw this even at the level of Dr. Ford, you know, there are no perfect victims. There's always reasons that if you wanted to discredit someone, you could tear them apart. And that fear really does keep women from coming forward. There is no fame and glory to be had in being a nationally known victim of sexual assault. It's that's farcical, that sort of this assumption that women come forward to get attention or sort of make these stories up. And when we launched the letter, one of the mottos that we had was no more Twitter justice. This idea that women are sort of having to trot their victimization out in the press to be believed and have action taken, when in reality, if you had functioning systems in which women could confidentially report, could be heard, if there were systems in place to actually be responsive to those issues and be proactive and promote resolution and healing, you wouldn't have the need for people to continuously go to the press or go public with this type of incident. And to some degree, we've seen various institutions try to get feelers around that to create more avenues for reporting. But by and large, and I would think Adama would agree with me, we're still really lacking the type of systems and best practices that will end the deluge of people feeling they have to go to the press to get recourse.
Adama, there have been a small number of lawmakers who have lost their jobs. There have been policy and procedural changes outside entities who will review complaints and look at investigations. You've spoken to us at least a couple times about feeling frustrated by the slow pace of change or the lack of true change. Where are you now, 1 year later?
I think we're still frustrated by the lack of true change and real change. The legislature has made some steps. They've actually allocated a budget. They've put forth a plan to start, you know, having a way to kind of deal with these claims in a little bit better of a way. But, I mean, we are still trying to find out what happens in an investigation. What is the outcome of an investigation? What is the process that they go through? So we're still waiting. And I think that that's really frustrating for a lot of people. I think one thing that has changed is that things actually are coming out now. There was an incident in the Capitol towards the end of session where a legislator used some really, crazy terms towards a female African-American lobbyist, and she reported it. and her job supported her 100% and reporting it. And it got to the papers. And I feel like a year ago, that wouldn't have happened. The wagons would have circled, it would have been swept under the rug, and no one would have ever heard about it. Mm-hmm. So people are losing kind of the timidity and fear about speaking up about things that happen, but we still have to have a process where those who are accused and those who bring accusations know exactly how that's going to be handled and adjudicated and can have some kind of expected outcome and a timeline for that.
We are going to post a link to your website, Adama and Samantha, and the stories still keep coming, I understand, from women. It does have the original letter on it and the work that you're doing since. Do you have a ballpark number of how many, you said the word victims, but women and or men that you've heard from?
Gosh.
Oh, God.
I don't know that we have a ballpark number. I can tell you that just in the first few days after the website was launched, we had over 20,000 hits to the website. And that was really just in the first couple days. But, you know, it's interesting. We've had reporters ask, you know, have things sort of slowed down? And the reality is they really haven't. I mean, I'm not sure that a week has gone by in the last year that I haven't heard from someone who's been victimized themselves or someone calling on behalf of a friend wondering sort of what resources they can avail themselves of. And, you know, the opportunities to speak even in front of large groups of people where almost every woman in the room has been victimized and is looking for solutions for these type of, you know, systemic problems in their own community. I would say that it's basically every woman I speak to over the course of the last year.
Well, I want to thank you both. After a short break, I'm going to be talking with Dr. Lynn Farley, who in 1975 originated the phrase sexual harassment. She's going to agree with you because I have heard her say that every woman who has held a job has been sexually harassed. So that conversation is coming up. Meanwhile, thank you both. Adama, thank you for joining us today, and Samantha, too. It's 1 year since that letter was published, and I am sure that next year on the second anniversary, we'll be having a conversation with both of you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That is Samantha Corbin and Adama Iwu. We will post a link to wesaidenough.com, and that's at capradio.org/insight. This is Insight on Cap Radio.